Hello and welcome to MRA's 5-Minute HR Feed, the podcast where you get quick, practical information about a hot topic. In the time it takes to make a cup of coffee, you'll gain insights on hot topics and pressing HR issues. I'm your host, Rebecca Jacobs, and we are so glad you're here. Before we start, here's my usual disclaimer that the podcast is general information only and does not contain any legal advice. Now it's time to dive in. Today, we're covering the important clauses you'll want in a remote work policy. I'll have some sample language for you to consider using. The overarching consideration in a remote work policy is reaching that balance among productivity, flexibility, and security. Now, how often have you heard managers questioning how hard a remote employee is working? Sometimes you hire someone into a remote role, and sometimes an existing role is allowed to transition to wholly or partly remote. In either situation, we need flexibility to change the arrangement in the event the employee is not being productive in that role. So, how do we know if they're not being productive? Well, that's a good question. The real question is, how are managers monitoring and deciding productivity for the role when it was in person, if it was ever in person before? Are we looking at hours spent at the workstation logged in? Are we looking at the number of meetings per day or per week? The number of transactions or interactions that they're having? The amount of the work product produced? And just think about, if this is a role that was designated as remote before it was even created or filled, what was the intent as to the measure of productivity? So if the expectation is that they're going to be logged in and doing productive work for 8 hours, then connect that to their performance goals and determine how that's going to be measured. Now, if there is frustration and concern that the person is not being productive and you have data in hand to support that, as opposed to a manager's hunch, then the company needs to have the opportunity to change the work arrangement to being in person. And that brings us to the first key element. You should say that the remote work arrangement in the policy, it should say that the arrangement can be discontinued at any time and for any reason. Otherwise, we may be looking at an expectation on the part of the employee that they can continue this arrangement no matter what. Now, we're going to temper this with the understanding that the company is not going to change the arrangement arbitrarily or capriciously, but only if there's good reason and with ample notice for the individual to make whatever arrangements they need to be able to start working in person. So here's a sample. The remote work arrangement may be discontinued by the company at any time and for any reason at the sole discretion of the company. The employee will be given as much notice as practicable given the circumstances regarding the end of their remote work arrangement. In addition, the employee may be required on occasion to report to and or work at the employer's physical workspace or other designated location. I'm going to include that paragraph, as well as the other ones I'm discussing here today, in the show notes. The next essential element is a nod to safety and ergonomics. While OSHA is probably not going to come and inspect an employee's home, injuries may potentially be recordable and potentially reportable, depending on the severity, and the employer still has the general duty to maintain a work environment free of hazards. Plus, depending on the circumstances, an injury could be covered by workers' compensation. So think about the safety measures you'll bake into your policy to give you the right to determine if there are hazards. For example, have a checklist of best practices, such as no exposed wires in your work environment. Perhaps include a right to inspect with 24 hours notice, but think about really whether you want to send people to the employee's house to go look in their workroom. Also, maybe consider requiring that the employee every so often provide a real-time video of the work setup to detect ergonomic issues. Now, balance that against the concern that that video or that FaceTime, whatever arrangement that is, might reveal some private information about the employee that they would not want to have exposed. So think about that as well and perhaps make it a very limited inspection. So here's a sample. Safety. The employee must have a dedicated workspace at their location for their equipment. The employee is responsible for keeping the equipment in safe condition and must keep their workspace free from any hazards. The company will provide each employee with a safety checklist that must be completed at least twice per year. Now, think also about sensitive information and devices. Does your employee work with sensitive, confidential, or proprietary information? You may need to lock down where they're doing their work. For example, saying you have to work at home in an office with a door that can be closed or potentially even locked. Or you cannot work in public, such as at a coffee shop. Will they be able to access such information with their own personal devices? How do you want to manage that? Consider perhaps a dual-use device policy. What kind of VPN or other networking needs will you have? Do you have a bandwidth requirement? And if they don't meet it, that requirement? Will there be a stipend? So these are all things to consider. But this brings me to the last essential element, which is considering how your remote employees should handle errands during the workday. Granted, it's easy during a lunch hour to go and do a quick errand, but what about things that might require more than an hour? And we want to think about the fairness and the equity that exists between remote workers and then workers who are in an office. Those workers may need to, or no, at a manufacturing facility or other type of work arrangement, those individuals may need to use PTO in order to do a two-hour doctor's appointment or take their pet to the vet or something like that. So here's a sample of something to consider for your remote work employees. Requests for leave. Unless otherwise agreed to between an employee and their manager, employees must dedicate their efforts and attention to their job duties during their scheduled work hours. If an employee needs to attend to a non-work-related matter, activity, or event during their regularly scheduled work hours, the employee must request time off in the same manner as if the employee was working from the company's facilities. If an employee experiences illness which prevents them from performing any remote work, the employee must follow the sick leave procedures established by the company for the time in which they were unable to work. So those are some sample elements to include in your remote work policy. Check out the show notes for those paragraphs.
Thank you for listening to MRA's 5-Minute HR Feed. For this episode, be sure to reference the show notes where you can sign up to connect for more podcast updates. If you have questions, you can connect with MRA's hotline team by emailing info@mranet.org or calling 866-474-6854. Check out other MRA episodes on your favorite podcast platform, such as MRA's 30-Minute Thrive. And as always, make sure to follow so you don't miss out. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll have another hot HR topic in 2 weeks.